Hello and welcome everybody to the Taskmaster wrap-up. Yes, we are back talking Taskmaster. I am Haley Strong. I am thrilled to be here once again talking about my favorite TV show. And I could not do this alone. Nobody would pay for that. Grace is joining me. Hi, Grace.
I would pay for that. Just listen to you rant about Taskmaster, I think.
You are flattering me, my friend.
My favorite show as well, Haley. So I'll take all the content. And we can't keep up with... Taskmaster, they have one podcast. Ed Gamble's like, I'll do one. And they're like, surprise, we also have the People's Podcast. They doubled up their efforts. So we're just here. We're just here at the end of the season. The end of two seasons, actually.
And like almost on the precipice of another season, maybe soon, probably in the fall. Yes. Do you listen to the People's Podcast?
I have not listened to the People's Podcast yet. I know I just like mentioned them by name, but I have not watched yet. But I think it'd be fun. It's very like fan focused, right?
I mean, I haven't listened to it either.
Oh, okay.
I would say, I'm sorry, Lou is not my favorite.
I was surprised by the Lou Sanders pick, but you know,
good for her. You know, getting paid.
She has a memorable moment in the Champion of Champions too.
I liked her in Champions of Champions. We'll get to Champions of Champions. We're starting with Taskmaster season 13. God, I loved this season.
I really loved it. I thought like, I feel like I come out of every season being like, I really love this season. I really like the cast. Like, I think the thing that Taskmaster has really nailed is their casting. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad to see that there's is much more diverse casting over the last years. But every season, I'm like, I know one of them and everybody else is like a mystery to me. And by the end, I'm like, I don't care about the person I knew. I love everybody else. Mm-hmm. And so this was a delight. I thought the task when we did, what did we call her? Our weekly Twitch stream.
Your time starts now. Yeah.
We're pros. We critiqued the tasks of that season a lot in terms of there was not a lot of maneuverability for these comics. Like, trust the people that you've brought to the show to like take the tasks in an interesting direction. And I feel like this season was full of tasks where they're like, you do your thing, we'll figure it out, and it was a delight.
And do you think that's because this is our first? And I'm using this loosely, post-COVID season in which there's a studio audience again. They're allowed to be near Alex. They're kind of allowed to use him for more stuff.
I didn't think about that. I really did think that I thought the chemistry in the last seasons has been fun, but I think a little bit noticeably different in terms of no live audience and also that they were so spread apart. And I think that there's just something to like the camaraderie of them. I think we had one person in particular who really liked to stir the pot in terms of like debriefing every viewing of a task. But that's probably a really good point that they probably had more flexibility this season than the last few seasons that they've had, and probably tracks in terms of like the type of tasks I like and what they were able to do.
Yeah, I would say going into the season, these five people, I don't think I really recognized any of them. Like, I think I'd seen Judy Love before. Sophie Duker, we had seen on like House of Games, but I didn't really know her super well. I'm sure Chris is the same. But I came out really loving this cast. I think you're correct. And they absolutely nail casting. And they're able to really find a great balance of like competitive people and people who don't care that much and people who are like, well, like try and amp it up in the studio and, you know, people who flow well together. And I thought this was like a really brilliant season with so many laugh out loud moments. Who was your MVP?
It's really hard. I will pick. I will not give the like cop out answer of like, I love them all. I loved all the women mostly. And I think each of them brought like something so unique. I thought that Judy Love is just tremendously funny, was the funniest person on this season in terms of how much of a bullshitter she was. Sophie Duker, I really liked her personality. Like, you know, she threw herself into it, obviously. And big spoilers if you have, if you have not actually watched something, careful.
I don't think anyone signing into this one not having watched the season.
Okay, Sophie Duker wins. And I love that for her. And then Bridget Christie gave me this like very unique, like not Catherine Parkinson came on the show a few years ago and was like tremendously bad at everything. And I thought Bridget, like in the mold of sort of like that type of person, but a little bit better than Catherine in terms of like actually being able to do the task, but just being like weird, like the whole walking and dancing and like just like the no BS-ness of Bridget Christie, I really loved. And so I think out of those three, I think Judy Love ended up being my absolute favorite. She's like probably one of my favorite train wreck contestants of all time, I think. And so
highest point getting train wreck contestant.
That's true. I also wondered if that was like, did they do some of those?
They have more like,
there's very few episodes and things.
Well, but, and Greg is getting very liberal with some of the scoring. Like I feel like he's giving a lot less 1 points than he has, like than he used to.
Yes. So I love Judy Love. I thought she was tremendous. And again, someone I really didn't know anything about. And I'm delighted. I want to see her on so many more things. What about you?
Judy Love is my MVP. Yeah. She was just spectacular in every way you want somebody on Taskmaster to be spectacular.
Yeah. Not gamifying it, although maybe thinking she can gamify it, like, and then, or like make her argument in the studio. Tremendous.
She's just so, so funny. And I loved everyone. I'm thrilled with a Sophie win. I think that's really wonderful. Mm-hmm. Chris, he just has a really great face. So I enjoyed watching him the whole season.
Haley, I live by myself. Just my dog, Luna, must hate. Because I, you know what I say all the time in my house? I go, No way!
All the time.
It's because it's in the beginning of the thing. And then just that episode, that line lives rent-free in my house. Because I'll just like, I'll go to the fridge, be like, oh, I'm out of cream. No way!
Then you would fit in great in the Strong Fahey household. Okay. Because gosh, ooh, do we say that a lot.
No way!
Yeah.
If we were starting like a weekly podcast, I would want to call it No way! A Taskmaster podcast. I can't do the rest. I can only do no way.
No way! Oh my god! It makes me cry laughing every single time.
And Ardle, I loved Ardle. Ardle is like very much in that like Alan Davies, you know, the older guy trying to figure it out, not very good at it. But I did love that he would every test, even though he knows his bad outcome is about to be aired, he'd be like, "Well, I don't think you." That wasn't really a sheep. And I guess his is the one with the picture of the sheep, I think. He's like, that doesn't really count. I don't think you've quite met the rules. And you see his and it's like also doesn't meet
the criteria
of the rules.
It's somehow hilarious.
It's so good.
Yeah. I thought this was just an absolutely fantastic cast. Like you said before, I thought the tasks this season were a little more up there too. I really enjoyed a lot of them. I don't think there was like a miss episode for me where I felt like last season, maybe there was one or two where we were kind of like, oh, okay, sure. Yeah.
I have to tell you, I think that the thing that scared me the most about this season, I like Chris Ramsey a lot. I really
do. You were
like
worried he was going to steamroll it, weren't you?
I was so worried. I felt like so many of the tasks, like, and it was just like, he's going to come on and be like super Ed Gamble that he's just going to come in and like not have a rose to like, try and like keep up with him, right? That he's just going to come in and be the best person we've ever seen play Taskmaster. And I am so glad that like that did not hold true to form. That like he's good. He's just not like ran away with it. But that was my one big fear in terms of like early on about the show. It's like, I think they built the season for Chris Ramsey.
I was kind of thinking the same thing too. And it really did even out. Everyone won an episode except Judy Love.
And even that's funny because they kept pointing out that like Judy Love had never won an episode.
And sometimes I wonder if they like set episodes up for somebody to win. And like you can't always, because there's always a task where Greg judges it. So you don't know what he's going to say. But it really felt like, what was it, episode 7 or something like that was really set up for Judy to win.
Let me just
see. It was episode 9, actually.
Yes.
Episode 9 was really set up for Judy to win, and she just biffed it in the end.
That's the one where if she had a wrote down 0,
If she would have just done nothing, she would have won the episode.
Right. This is the tin cans in the bag. How many can you fit? You had to predict how many you'd put in. And, put in, and they were like, if you just put in zero, you would have won.
Yeah.
So sad. So sad. I think the thing for me that always, I think there is this debate out there, people being like, do you think they try to make it so that every episode someone can win or at least nearly win? And you just hope that like the live task and the judging works out in a way that makes that happen. And I could see that. I also have, I don't know if just Greg gives off the sense of like, he like that he's doing no prep work. That like if someone came to him and like, okay, make sure you score like so like Judy High, like everything, that he would just be like, yeah, no, I don't give a shit. You know? So my theory of like, yep, it's rigged for an episode totally goes out the window, mostly because of Greg Davies, because I don't think he would care to be like, yeah, okay, I'll make sure like Judy is in the running by the live test.
Yeah, no, for sure. But I, you know, I think they can be like, well, I think Judy did well. So let's like try and put all the her like really good ones in one episode. But then she still biffs it. So it's just perfection.
Right.
What are some tasks that stood out to you this season?
Boy, I think this season, what I remember the most is mostly like total failures. I'm thinking of this. So here's one that like really surprised me, and I'm going to go a little bit recent, but episode 9, the one we were just talking about, when they have to poke a body part out of the shower curtain, and like objectively this task like shouldn't really work. Like this feels like a task that they do and then they're like, yeah, okay, everybody just put their leg or arm out.
Yeah.
And so it's not going to work. But the fact that Artle like, does he like write something on his like leg, and then like I can't remember exactly what it, but like yeah, just this task I really love because it just should not have worked as I was watching it. But Artle totally, he takes his pants off, right? Like, why'd you take your pants
off? Yeah, he's like, I don't know.
Like, I don't know. You put your arm out. Is so funny. I really liked learn Swedish and have a conversation with this. I was really happy to see the Swede back.
Yeah, we saw Fred the Swede back. And I thought that was a really great way to incorporate him. Like, I love that. Learn Swedish. Just like have a conversation, see what you can do. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah. And I really liked put this key in a nearly impossible place to retrieve. And then the scavenger hunt nature of the task where you have to find Alex's phone and realizing you need the key. And I love that Bridget puts it in her boot and yet does not win this task. It's hilarious to me.
And that task made me so nervous because like, I like to think about what I would do.
Yes.
And I immediately was like, well, I'm calling a cab and I'm putting the key in the cab and I'm writing down the number of the cab, so it's not impossible to retrieve it. But then in that second part, it would have been absolutely demolished.
A lot of people throw it up the tree. I would hope that like even under the pressure of like, yeah, I'm competing on the show, that I would realize that probably other people are going to throw it up a tree.
Yeah.
So I hope I don't do that, and I think I do something more clever. But then I'm thinking I probably like put it in the like, if there's like a chimney in that house, I think I'm like trying to get like, it up the chimney. I know you're not, they typically don't let them on the roof.
No, but like flush it down the toilet. It's like, it's not impossible, but it's not likely.
Yeah. Or maybe just give it to Alex and just never give it, like don't give it to me or something. There were some really fun ones early on. We had show me your coolest photo in your phone and then recreate the coolest photo. I like that. I the one thing I will say is that like I feel like they should have got points for having the coolest photo rather than just having to recreate it.
I feel like Chris won that one, and I was like, this is not the coolest photo. Like
it's not, but he recreated the coolest photo the best. But I feel like the one of Judy at like a sold out show should have been, she should have got some points for that.
Yeah.
The one thing I found in the season, and it was especially noticeable when we got to Champion of Champions, which unfortunately was just one episode, a special one-off. I think I would have liked to have seen more, but I was really happy with what we got. But I noticed that they would be like, okay, here's your task and you have 1 hour. And I felt like watching this season, series 13, that it would often be like, do this wild thing and you have 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's probably just we have to film so many tasks. Like, we probably only have them for a week and we have to cram in as many as possible. And I feel like a lot of shows have to, of like trimming the budgets in COVID to just be like, yeah, where we would have given them an hour before, we can only give them 20 minutes now. And I do wonder if, like, I felt the stuff we got from Champion of Champions was like really, really good. Mm-hmm. And I do wonder whether this is an active choice for them to feel like, we'll just get what we get from 20 minutes, or they do like the like timed nature. What do you think?
I wish we had a little more balance. I feel like there's some things that maybe could have used an hour. I think Swedish. I think you take 1 hour to learn Swedish. I think 15 minutes is like impossible to get anything in.
Well, the only people who did well were like people who wrote it down or had some basis for knowing Swedish. Yeah. That same episode, Haley has the one where they have to stick their tongue out, which I saw some people saying was the grossest thing they've ever seen on Taskmaster.
I don't know if it's the grossest thing I've ever seen on Taskmaster. Because Ethan and I have been going back and watching some of like recent-ish seasons.
Yes.
I would say one of the grossest things I've watched was actually last season. Remember when they had this stuff in the bags and they had to figure out what it was?
Oh.
That really grossed me out.
Yeah. You know what? Like, for me, like, spit doesn't...
Well, it's so clear, right? Like, it doesn't really... It's when it's, like, kind of chunky and, like, resembles vomit and I have a weak stomach. That's when I'm like... Ugh. Like, the spit,
agree.
It's, like, gross. I don't want to be, like, be involved in that. But it's not, like, making me puke.
Yeah, I'm having like sensory problems when I'm seeing the, like what looks like dog poop in a bag, and I'm not having that with somebody like drooling. I don't like. I think I worked with kids long enough that like just like regular spit, whatever, as drool, whatever, you know. Yeah. I'm not choosing it, but like it doesn't bother me as much. But I know some people really, really hated that task.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah. It's not something I would want to be in the room live for, nor would I want to participate in it. But I've seen worse.
That episode actually has three for me, like bang, bang, bang tasks. You have like learn Swedish. You have the sticking your tongue out task. Then you have walk through the store wearing the longest shoes and the biggest hat, which if I had been like, if we'd seen this from Chris Ramsey early on, where he just like doesn't get it,
just
and
like
can't figure out
down, yeah,
yes, I think I would have been much more like, you know, much less worried early on, because this was a great task and he's the one who totally beefs the whole thing and everybody else is hilarious.
Yeah, he just like finds a cowboy hat and takes Alex's shoes because his shoes are bigger than his. Like, that's so funny.
it's very good. Yeah,
speaking of shoes, one of my favorite of the season was find the shoe Alex is looking for or like of. Like, it made me laugh so hard. It's the first time we visibly see Alex getting really frustrated with a contestant.
Yes. He was actually, I felt like a couple times this season getting, there's the one where, this set piece, actually, I really liked this, like the barn, like schoolhouse,
like a pioneer
thing.
Village almost, like that's what it felt like, right?
I loved this set
it's
piece.
Like I've definitely been on a third grade field trip to somewhere like this,
same. But I did love this task. I love Artle not paying attention enough to be like when he says yes or no, and so he throws out all the, I think it's, was this a shoe you'd wear to a wedding?
Yeah, or he was getting so complicated. Yeah, no, a funeral. I think it was a funeral,
and he says no, so he throws out all the shoes he wouldn't wear, whatever that, like the thing he shouldn't have done. It was great. It's tremendous. This, that test was so fun. I loved it.
Yeah, no, it's like on its face, it's so complicated to me. It's like, I don't know what fucking shit you're thinking of. Like, I don't know. You're an insane person.
Uh-huh.
And then don't you like lose a point for every question you ask? Or you,
it's
like
fewest questions wins. So you just have to, as soon as you have the right shoe in, it's whoever has asked the fewest questions. So
and Bridget, I think asked 146 or something like that.
Yes. It's tremendous. I think I'm very good at like 21 questions, playing 21 questions. So I feel like I would have nailed this task. But of course, I would have thrown out the wrong shoe immediately in reality. Yeah,
I would like to pretend that I would be like, when he revealed he doesn't often reveal like there is a correct strategy to this. And he did in this task. And it's like, you just keep asking, like, is it on this half? And then you say yes or no, and you throw out everything out and you keep doing it over and over until eventually you just have the have the shoe.
I feel like you shouldn't do that because I feel like this was so fun that you could do it again. But now people yeah. have watched it. But maybe they like that idea of like they know. Because really, I'm waiting for the like they don't really have. I guess the prize task is their like signature task. I have to say, I am getting pretty sick of a certain type of live task, which I think we can get to and we want to talk through live tasks.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like they don't really have like a signature task per se. And I wonder if that's like an Alex Horn thing of being like, no, we're not repeating anything. We're not like going to bring back the hits, you know?
Yeah. Another one of my favorites, and it's just because it's so simple, is record the highest number on the pedometer. Like,
yes.
Let's see what you can do. It was just so funny.
I loved them. It felt like a task where they were all mad at Alex for being like, yeah, but the pedometer doesn't work. No, it does work. You just need to like walk normally and it will do it. But I know this is where Bridget's like weird walk comes into play. I think Judy is complaining about it not actually recognizing her number of steps. Yeah, it's very, because this is the one where like I feel like is the epitome of like the task is so simple, but if you give five comedians this task, they'll all do it differently because they're all trying to be funny, right? Like you might get one person who's been like, I'm just gonna walk a bunch, you know, but them all looking for sort of unique and funny ways to do it, I think is really fun. I always love a task where they're going to, where it's so obvious that somebody's going to do the thing that you're absolutely not supposed to do. And for me, this is the one where they had to make Alex bite the duck. And so they've shown all three girls mm-hmm. like do it without. And so the thing is like, you can't like, don't get lose Alex points wet. If you get Alex wet. And so then the very first thing that, and they're like, okay, now let's see Arnold. The first thing he does is chuck a bucket of water. And yeah. Alex is so funny. It's so funny. Yeah, that was great.
And I love any time they're surprised by the second part of the task.
Agreed.
So sculpt the most beautiful sculpture. Your sculpture must weigh exactly 150 grams. It must be entirely edible. And then completely consume your beautiful sculpture.
Good.
Oh, Artle eating eggshells. Like, I could not watch that. I had to.
This is more disgusting to me than the spit one.
Yes, actually. Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. Because yeah. We used to do this game at camp. We do like a top chef. Shout out to you. We do a Top Chef challenge where we'd give the kids, typically be like a scavenger hunt thing, and whatever ingredients you got, you can then use to make a delicious meal. We'd always say it's like the most delicious meal, but then also the most artistically designed one. But there was always a group of kids who were just total shitheads and would make the staff eat the most disgusting thing, which was part of the fun as well. Every once in a while, you got a group that was like, we're all going to make disgusting things. That was the worst day of my life. And so I very much feel for these people who have to, like, I mean, it's their own fault. I feel like they should have seen this coming, that you're going to eat the stuff that you said, which Bridget is eating her uncooked bread. I'm like, no, this is bad. I'm actually surprised they let some of them, like, knowing they were going to have to eat it, letting them pick some of the things they picked.
Yeah.
But this one is more disgusting to me than spit.
Definitely. And then let's talk prize tasks.
Yes.
Again, we are getting a little, you know what? There's a couple that are like, sound reasonable to me, but then there's a couple where it's like, let's dial it back. Like I just couldn't, and like, I know we've been doing this for so long. There's like what, 115 prize tasks that we've had to do. And so like, yeah, I guess the object that you're most like to show to an alien is going to come up eventually. But like best nighttime thing, that could be simple enough. Or most surprising thing from the wardrobe, like that's a fun one too. But sometimes we're just getting a little too complicated here.
I thought the season was actually kind of somewhat a return to form here.
A little bit, but...
Because like, what do we have? Like, best thing to sit on was like one of the things that was like...
Like most expensive, like, best thing. Or like, yeah, best thing to sit on. I don't... Yeah.
It's just like, okay, here's just like a literal chair. Yeah. I love a best thing you would show to an alien. I really... One of my favorite moments of the whole season is loveliest thing to hold above your head. And Judy Love brings in a fan. And immediately Greg's just like, yes, of course, a natural thing that we all do with fans is, and it's like literally like a mechanical little like fan that you use in the summer for your like stuff. He's like, yes, I would hold it above my head. Yeah. apparently she, I watched some outtakes today, and she said she wanted to bring in a baby, and production told her she could not bring in a baby for Loveliest Thing to Hold Above Your Head.
Did you also hear that she was filming Strictly at the same time?
I heard this on the Taskmaster podcast that she was filming. That is wild.
That's too crazy.
Yeah.
That's like not physically possible. And it's funny because Chris was also on the Taskmaster podcast and had done Strictly in the past. And he's like, we don't understand how she did it.
Chris says, I listened to this not that long ago. I'm a little behind on the Taskmaster podcast. And I really loved his story about he's in the same office as the Taskmaster, but where his show is. And he just felt like the show would be perfect for him. And he never gets asked. And so he's just like, no, I never watch it because I was too angry, which fairly relatable. I'd be perfect for that thing. And I didn't get on it. So I'm not going to watch it.
I know. And because I pegged him as a fan, like a huge fan until I heard that podcast. And it's funny because his wife, Rosie, is also on a later episode of the Taskmaster podcast, which was a lot of fun. She gave some like fun context, like that week his prize task. Oh, that was the same. Like, like best thing to hold over your head? And he actually brought in that shirt where if you lift your hands, like it was like a bodysuit basically.
And she said, the untuckable tuckable shirt or whatever.
She said he got that on Strictly. Like that was part of his Strictly wardrobe.
There is, because he makes an excellent joke. I found that the banter between them all was really good this season. There's some really funny stuff. And because I was watching this thing, somebody says something about like, you're holding the fan above your head. He goes, yeah, but your shirt's going to come untucked. so funny. Yeah.
And I loved how much he loved Judy.
Agreed.
Like he was just like, he's so supportive of her. And he's just like, thought she would. It was so shocking to me to hear that Chris was not a watcher of the show, because he just seems so enamored by being there, and like it felt like we just had like an audience member up on stage, like the way he would like interact and like laugh with Judy and Sophie, and you know.
The surprising thing from the wardrobe, and Bridget Kirstie says she had bought this outfit for Greg many years ago, which is a kimono that she never gave to him. And I just love him being like, "You could have given this to me at any time. Why did you?" And she's like, well, I don't know, but I have it now. it's like so
funny. Do you
funny.
Believe that story?
No. I do. Like, I don't know. She is the most, like, there's a couple times where, like, she gets up and goes over to Greg that makes me believe that they're close.
Yeah.
But not in the same way that, like, Greg used to, like, make fun of Rose and Connolly just as, like, being, like, we're actual friends. Like, we hang out outside of the show. That I don't quite get that from Bridget and Greg, but maybe they've also decided that as, like, let's not mention that we're like super close. So maybe they are close friends, but it didn't seem exactly like they were super close friends.
No, like it seemed like they were close enough, but not like Roshan. So the last couple seasons we've been getting olds versus youngs. This one we got girlies versus boys. How did you feel about that?
I liked it a lot. I thought the dynamics of the team were really fun. I thought that like Chris and Ardell's energy was really fun. Mm-hmm. And I thought that Sophie almost being the I don't know. Judy has this, there's a hilarious, one of my favorite tasks of the season, because it's edited. I thought it was a little confusing until I was watching.
Well, I was like, they're all there together. What? Yeah. I
thought
it was just like absolutely mind blowing editing, honestly, too. I thought I thought they were all in the same place, but like once I realized, I was like, how does this even work? I don't know.
I like that they do it in a team task, because there's a world where they do this task because it ends up being an individual task, right? It's actually not a team task.
Mm-hmm.
With this, the task we're talking about is like give Alex a high five and the third fastest high fiver wins. If you're first or last, you receive no points. And Judy going and high fiving Alex immediately. And then Alex is like, says something of like, and she's like, well, I waited, at least I waited a couple minutes. And he's like, no, you waited 20 seconds. So, no, like a couple minutes. He's like, no, literally like 20 seconds. It was so funny. And then, she's like, well, whatever. Like now neither of you can like lose. Just make sure you're not last. And then, Ardell just repeatedly high fiving over and over again was really funny, I thought.
And then Bridget waiting until the last second to high five. It's like, babe, you're going to be like Judy.
So good.
And Bridget like biffed it so badly. And it's so funny. And like, like Sophie's such a, like the straight man there, like looking back and forth and being like, what the heck is happening? But I thought they had really fun chemistry, both of the teams.
Yeah, the one where they're in the same location where they're on the
hoverboard bikes. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was really fun. The two boys are just like totally just like boys, you know, like getting to ride these little scooter mobiles, and the women were just great. I thought splitting them up this way was really fun. And I don't even think this is necessarily like, yeah, it's because it was boys versus girls. It's just that the dynamics,
it's like the chemistry was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say one of my favorite ones for the team task was record the best multi-track song about your team, and the women did so well. Yeah, but yeah, and then Chris and Arnold were like, no, like, you're missing context for this. Like, we did a task and we sang this song about the task, and now you didn't show the task, so this doesn't make any sense.
So apparently the women didn't do this task, and so there hasn't been clarification that's come out. Alex is being like, no, why would we make you do that, as I think in a joking way of like, of course we made you do that.
Yeah,
but we chose to leave it out because now it's funnier. The track is funnier because nobody's seen a task where you have to put an aubergine in your mouth. Do you think that, like, if it almost felt like, I thought we were going to the task where what's his name was like counting beans and rice, and
I thought
we were doing a humiliation task.
Maybe doing like a boys task where it's just like, this is funny,
right.
Either that or they're like, this is too like dirty to show on television, like this has gone in a direction that we cannot air, and so they like, or they're like, we can't make the women do this. I don't know. Or like, they're like, you know what? It's actually not that great to eat uncooked aubergines, so we can't make, like, we can't risk that. I don't know. But it's funny that they were like, we still like this music task enough to like not care that it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. It's hilarious. It's so good. The women's track is so good. It's like genuinely
good. Good.
Yeah, genuinely very, very good. That was brilliant. There is like an outtake as well of them making fun of Artle, and they go like, I mean, the beat of the whole song is really good, but it's even better if you pull it out on its own. And it's just him like doing gibberish and looking embarrassing. It's really fun. Yeah.
And then the life tasks. How are you feeling about the life tasks?
Let me give you the rant, Haley.
Tell me.
I'm sick of Greg guesses whether you put your whose leg it is, or I'm just sick of Greg guessing games. A, because I think he's very, very good, very good at it. Although I think he's kind of bad at the one where it's like, which one of the team, like which team member has the leg out. I think they're kind of bad at that one. But I'm kind of sick of like, do this thing, and then Greg's going to guess whether you did this thing or this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get that. Especially for Champions of Champions, and we'll get there. I am really sick of live tasks that only one person wins.
I agree. It takes so much of, there's an episode, I think it's a season, where they're like, anybody can win, and then the task is a one winner only, so it completely spoils who the winner is.
Yeah.
Which, like, I know it's coming like 2 seconds later, but like, you know, build some tension into your show, please. Yeah. I kind of wish they gave updates on who's in the lead. I maybe wish they didn't tell us how many points.
Yeah.
I feel like that could be, I mean, you could like do the math on your own, but like, who cares? But
yeah. But I thought a great season overall. I really enjoyed it. I'm really looking forward to going back and watching this one again.
Me too. I think this is like a stellar cast. Somebody the other day, maybe we could do this at the end, Taylor. Someone said, give me your all-star cast. It can be winners, whatever, with a few, like, you have to, there's some qualifications there, but, boy, it was hard for me not to, and this is probably a recency bias, but it was very hard for me not to like want to take all the women in an all-star season. I thought they were all really tremendous. You could probably leave Sophie out because she won, but Bridget and Judy, I'd be like tremendously happy to see come play again.
Bridget had to I had to warm up to Bridget. By the end, I really enjoyed her. At the beginning, I was like, I'm not sure if I'm getting this. And I would even say, like, yeah. I tried to listen to her episode of the Taskmaster podcast, and I was like, I'm gonna just hit pause, and if I come back to it, I come back to it.
That's fair. I think Bridget has a very funny, if there's, Bridget has, gosh, I don't want to get canceled on this pod, but I feel like she has a bit of like resting bitch face personality. But I always feel like then she's like, you can see that she's like going to crack a smile because she knows she's doing it. I feel like she knows that she's playing a bit like, she's a bit grumpy. She's a bit like, she can be not the friendliest person. And I really liked it. The task where we didn't talk about this task, and I really loved it, but it's when Alex is riding the bike and they have to put the ducks in the thing and there are like code words and the arrows and the amount of different ways that people like tried to solve this task. Sophie switching the arrows so that Alex just rode in a circle.
So funny.
It was so funny. I think Judy breaks the bike and Bridget literally pulls the thing off and unfortunately like is holding two at a time. I just thought they were all tremendous. I just thought, yeah. So I agree. Basically, my point is I agree with you. This is a very fun scene.
So let's talk about Champions of Champions. I'm genuinely mad it was one episode.
I am too. I'm mad about a lot of things about Champion of Champions. A, that it's winners from season 6 through 10 and it airs right after series 13.
Fair. Yeah.
Figure out your stuff, you know. You know, I don't need you to become RuPaul's Drag Race where there's just all-star seasons happening whenever they want. I feel like they had a perfect formula at the beginning in RuPaul's Drag Race. They were like, after every fourth season, we'll do an all-stars. Do it after every five seasons. But I guess if that means we're going to get one in like two seasons from now, that's fine. But I think there was so much good here that I'm like upset that we didn't get more. But on the other hand, like to the points earlier of like, they started to do these like, yeah, you have 20 minutes to do a task. I wonder, and here they're like, yeah, you have a full hour. I wonder if they try to do more than one episode that we get into the same thing of like, okay, now you have like 30 minutes instead of an hour for each task. But I would have liked more.
Who was your winner pick?
Ed, for sure.
Oh, interesting.
I thought Ed, I know Richard has, and I listen to the Taskmaster podcast and Ed makes fun of Richard a lot for how much he always wants to win these things. But I think Ed is just like, I just figured he would just be straight through. I was hoping for a Carrie Godleman win, I think. I love the like Bosch get it done attitude. I thought she was so funny in this episode, but I definitely did think Ed Gamble was going to win. And he has the podcast. I felt like it would be like really fitting. And
Liza was my like, she's gonna win. Like I just enjoy her style of like, she kind of does like that straightforward approach that Carrie does, but like doesn't care.
Yes, agreed.
Which I think works really well. I also thought she just like looked really beautiful. Like I thought her hair was fantastic.
Yeah, her
like,
facial hair, right?
Okay, that was a shock. That was a shock, especially since because like the credits, which I thought was just like brilliant, brilliant, brilliant.
Same.
Which was like 5 hero poses for like the opening credits, like time starts now. And that was like, in just like the combination of that was
no
just
so points, funny. Though. They didn't point.
No, they didn't. And also Liza's facial hair wasn't in it.
Right. Correct. That's so,
like,
brilliant.
So it was really shocking when she comes out and she just has a full beard. Like, and it made me laugh. It was so simple. And it was just like, hello, I'm here. Yes.
I'm such a fan of like, you know, I'm such a casual SNL where like, if they break, I think it's going to be like, it's funny, you know? And when you can get Alex, like I feel like he does it more. Maybe I've just watched so much Alex Horn on my TV, but if Alex Horn genuinely laughs, I am probably also going to laugh.
Yeah.
And him not knowing that.
I wish we got a shot of his face though.
Oh, it's so good. We did, didn't we? Doesn't he?
Maybe.
Not, no, we see him laughing. Right.
Yeah, we see him laughing. But like when she walks in, which I get, that's like what you want, that shot of her walking in. Like, I wish we would have also seen his face reacting to it.
I totally agree. Yeah, but gosh, that's just like so good. And then I totally agree with them all. And they're like, and it looks, you look amazing.
Yeah.
You have this like facial hair and you look tremendous. It fits you so well.
Yeah.
That's the best. Yeah.
It was great. So prize task. Wow, that really is the greatest thing. I thought this was like I liked it. Don't get me wrong. I liked it. I thought everyone's was pretty funny, except Blue's heart in a jar. I didn't get it. Didn't make sense to me. I also am not predisposed to appreciate anything Lou does, which is rude of me. I know.
That's fine.
So she deservedly got the 1 point. Yes. And then Carrie wrote this hilarious script, which was
so good.
It was a funny concept. The script was obviously I don't know. It was just so wild. Did you think Richard was not going to get a line?
I do think someone might get I thought someone might not get a line. Yeah. But everybody is included. So yeah, it's fine. Yeah.
What else did we see? Liza's picture with David Bowie, Richard's trip to Pompeii.
It's a totally fine. It's so Richard Herring to be like, look how much money I spent on the, even though Ed does a very similar thing. It feels different. It's unique in a way. I feel like Richard Osman used to do this. He does this one prize test where he does the task where they were given the 20 quid. That was almost a Taskmaster stable for a long time. They moved away from that one, but they did that one a lot. And he donates it to charity, and it's like Greg being like, oh, you said, now I feel like I have to. And I feel like this is worse Richard Osman, where Richard Herring is yeah, I spent a bunch of money. Someone's going to get to go, to Pompeii. It's a little funny with it being Pompeii, but it's you feel like a pompous, you buy Pompeii. Yes. There's something there, that he's buying a plane ticket,
And 500 pounds spending money, right?
Yeah, I'm just
Richard Herring. I am going to Pompeii in the fall.
Are you?
Wow. Yeah, if you just want to.
Yeah, 500 spending money.
PayPal that to me. I would not say no.
Yeah.
And then Ed sent his Taskmaster statue up in a weather balloon. This was I believe in science. I very much do. This is a pro science podcast.
It is. Yes.
It makes no sense to me. I don't get it. I don't understand science. I don't.
How can you get that high?
I don't know how my lights work. I don't know how the internet works. I don't know how art. I don't know how triangles are so strong. I don't know how anything gets built. I know nothing. Yeah. I was truly perplexed at what was happening. I had to get Ethan to give me a step-by-step explanation of what I was even seeing. I was like, this is fake, right? And he's like, no, people do this. I'm like, what do you mean people do this? It's it's a weather balloon and it goes up and it bursts and then, it falls down and there's a GPS on it so you can find it. I'm like, what do you mean? What do you mean people do this?
I definitely thought it was a drone. I didn't think it was a weather balloon. Then it gets really high. I'm like, oh, I don't think it's a drone.
So it gets above the earth?
Goes to space.
How does it do that? How did the statue not break? How did it not break? What is happening? I also I was very mind blown by it. I thought it was awesome, but it made no sense to me what was happening.
Yeah, you made me realize I know a lot less about space. Because in my head, I'm like, I know triangles are strong. And it's like, but how? And you're like, I don't know.
I don't know how anything works. We have a garden. We're starting a garden. I don't know how gardening works. I don't, how does it work? How does that happen? How do I just make food with dirt? I don't know.
Literally today, I have a little space for a garden, but it's very dark. It does not get a ton of light. And I keep meaning to go to the gardening store and be like, listen, I know nothing and my space is dark. What can I do? And I get too afraid that I'm going to know nothing. Then I don't go in.
I have accepted that I am dumb and it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. I can get by in life, but nothing around me makes sense. Banking makes no sense to me. I just show up to my yearly
banking.
Yeah, I just show up to my yearly. I did not say banging. Also, does not make sense to me. But that's a different issue to discuss with other people.
Same.
Nothing makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I just stumble around being like, oh, now mutual funds. What the hell? What the hell does that mean? Sure, I have them, but I don't know what it is.
I have always thought of myself as fairly smart, but this conversation makes me realize I don't think I'm that smart. I think I'm I have a very what's it jack of all trades, but master of none. I feel that might be me, but not even a jack of all trades.
I often describe myself as a mile wide and a foot deep.
Yeah. I think that that's probably me as well. Except for a few things. Yeah.
Yeah.
That are not important in the world. No. Like Taskmaster.
Yeah. Like, do call us if you ever need somebody for a trivia team.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do
pop
not,
culture stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Call us for that. Call us for that. Do not call us to rewire things. Like, I was even scrolling on TikTok and this woman was an electrician and she was like, yeah, like somebody called me saying their plugs didn't work. So I went in and did this and I went in and did this and then I went to the breaker and did this and then this didn't work. So I like had to get away from it because I was like, I don't understand. Like, I'm so happy for you. I don't get it. Like, please.
My level of smart is like, could I follow a YouTube instructional video to do the thing? And if not, I need to call somebody else to come.
Even that, I can't. Like, I'm like, no, this is above my pay grade, which is $0.
No, it's like in the first minute, I'm like, oh no.
And this is bad for feminism, but those are the things I usually go, Ethan, can you do this? Because I don't get it.
No.
And he does. He can usually like focus on things and figure shit out. I don't have to figure shit out, Gene. Like, I just don't. Anyway, no champion of champions, feed yourself a grape in the most elaborate way. Most elaborate self-feeding of grape wins. This was the funniest I've ever found. Or like, this is the best idea I think Richard Herring has ever had on Taskmaster.
I agree. It was very, very clever. It was very good. The whole like, yeah, I'm at a winery. Not only is it clever, but it's funny. So it's like the two things that I think sometimes Richard... I feel like Richard can be one or the other and is not always both.
Yeah.
And in this one, he is both. So good for him.
I thought it was like really funny. I thought like the time frames were hilarious to me. It's like, oh yeah, like this is aged for 15 minutes in barrel and you know, it's 5 minutes old. Like, that really made me laugh. And then Alex dropping it really was funny to me.
That was I thought that was it. I thought that like they would not let him like he dropped
because
it.
It's that's the grape, right?
Like, right, that's the grape. Yeah.
I thought he might get in trouble for that. But yeah, that was funny. I really liked it.
Me too. Yeah.
I thought Liz was dumb.
Lou was in a bathtub with the harp.
Yeah, like didn't do bad. It for me.
Yeah.
I thought Liza's was nice with like the pulley system.
I liked her on the couch. And again, I couldn't stop staring at her facial hair.
I know. Right. Yeah. I feel like if I was doing this, I would try and set up some like elaborate domino system where it would like knock the grape over.
Right.
That's kind of
like half carry. Like the end is carries. I liked the James Acaster cameo.
Yeah, me too. Nice. That was lovely. I was hoping everybody in our cast was like going to have like a little video moment.
Me too. I will say, I think that this task. I think
I thought this was like a fun one.
Carries was. If I was playing and in more than one episode, I think I would have been like furious that really all she did was like put a grape at the end of like she held a tube and the tube because everything else that happens before I would have been incredibly mad that it wasn't real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I guess the rules don't state that in the same way in other tests would be like the grape has to start here and you can't move it before whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But she's like James bounces it and then it's and Greg just called out like, yeah, and then it was on a parachute. Like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. And then our next one is cut holes and create a scene on this board. And then you and Alex stick parts of your body through it. It looks wonderful. Most wonderful scene wins. I thought you could only do two holes. And then when everybody was doing many holes, I was like, what?
I didn't realize it was going to be so much like we'll keep taking pictures so that it like when every time you put something in a hole, like we'll mash them, we'll like edit them together. I did think it was I thought it was going to be much more like at a fair where you put your face in a hole and then you snap a picture and that's it. I didn't think they would like edit it in such a way. I'm ultimately fine with it. And I think I love that Liza wins, even though she basically has Alex put his leg through a hole. I think it's tremendous. But yeah, I was a little confused by that, but ultimately it doesn't. It was fun. It was fine.
Yeah. And I think this is like one of the things about only doing one episode is like, this was a cute task, but it wasn't like a champions of champions task.
Agreed. Cute, not hot, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Would not make the merge. Would make the merge. Get this duck into a pond.
I love this task. I love it.
Did you think Ed was going to get it? Like, I thought he was. Yeah.
Yes. I thought Ed was going to. This is the, funny enough, this is the type of task. Not only do I think that, like, like is Ed is like built for this task. Mm-hmm. It feels like this is the type of task in his like original season that he would just like, yep, figured it out, nailed it. He'd do it in like 10 minutes and he just doesn't complete it. It's amazing. And his breakdown, like, I love him committing to a breakdown.
Yeah. He saws the duck's head off, buries it. I just, after 90 minutes, 97 minutes or something like that.
Because his grape task is him as the dog. And there's some really good banter here about like how he like buries the duck.
Because it was so weird.
It was weird. But he buries the dog and then Richard makes the joke of like, yeah, well, we have a dog who's going to be able to find it. And he's like, yeah. And then he explains it like, yeah, the dog thing came after this. And I just like needed to throw a Hail Mary to like try to hope I could win. Oh, so funny. He's like, I was having a breakdown. Yeah.
Yeah. And it just, I thought he was going to get it and he just didn't get it. Richard found like the literal key to it all, which was unlocking like the caravan to get the remote, to get the our good friend the remote control rat, and even that took him a long time. Like yeah, he was there for a while.
He comes in second last. Yeah.
I thought Carrie was brilliant with the spool.
Yes.
I really loved Lou's string and like having the long string and being able to drag it around into it. I thought that was really smart.
And a beautiful callback to early episode where she's like, I love pulleys. It's so good. I have a question about Carrie's. If there was a duck in a spool and then the spool was in there.
The duck was not in the water.
It says, get this duck into that pond.
Duck was not in the pond. The duck was in the spoolie, which was in the spool, pond.
Which is in the pond.
I would have probably caused an issue.
I feel like they were not into this. They were like, don't argue with each other. Like, you know, don't just like, it's fun and you're here for one episode. And who cares? Like, I feel
give
like
us like a 90-minute like, special. Like, come on, yeah. What is happening?
Yes,
give us all of the banter.
I know. I feel like that's twice that I think Carrie feeds herself a grape in the most. I mean, I guess she feeds herself a grape, so in a very elaborate way. Although, yeah. Like, whatever. I think Carrie. I love Carrie. I love her so much. I think she's hilarious. And yet, I probably, if I was playing against her, be like. Did we accomplish the task? I don't know.
Yeah, I think she could have done it by like tying a string around it and tying the duck and then hoping that the duck ends up in the water that way. But the duck itself was not in the pond.
Yeah, I know.
The duck was in like.
Well, but someone might argue if you're in like a, you know, in like a, you know, those like floaty things that you use in a pool. If you're in one of those and then you're like, are you in the pool? Are you in the?
I mean, my butt's probably touching the water. I'm probably.
What if you use one of the ones that has a bottom? If you have a bottom,
oh, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. I saw a TikTok video today of people like putting blankets and pillows in the and just sitting in the pool.
I saw that too. Like dream. Except my parents got rid of their pool, so I'd have to go do that in the lake, and I'd probably end up in like Buffalo if I.
I feel like if you're in that like thing and it has like a bottom and you're lying in it and like Ethan calls it like where are you and you're like I'm in the pool and he comes and
I guess
like, you're not in the pool
I'm but, on like, the you pool the,
you're on the pool
I'm on the mm-hmm. pool
mm-hmm. Anyway, semantics. Yeah. They ruled that Carrie was the duck was in the pond.
Yeah, fine. Yeah. Fine. I'll deal with it. It's not gonna it's not gonna cause me not to sleep that night.
I've been up since I watched it. I'm exhausted, Ailey. If I could go to bed, that would be great.
Yeah, well, you'll be able to after this. All right. I hated this live cast.
I hated it so much. I hated it. I don't like it.
Pack either 5 bricks or 5 balloons in your bag. One at a time, you must then walk across the stage and place your bag on the circle near the taskmaster.
So I don't hate it. Well, I do hate it that it's like only one person can win, right?
I hate that. I hate it. And it was obviously too hard because only one person was able to do it.
And this is the thing I was saying before. They literally say anybody can win this, episode. Literally anybody. Ed was on 11 points. Richard was on, he must have been on 12, right? So everybody could have won. Ed, like, it's like some weird math where like, Ed needs to come in first and everybody else needs to like there's like an order at which everybody else needs to come in. He could have won. And then they're just like, oh, Richard wins and he's gonna and like, let's find out who let's see how that affected.
Yeah, I was just annoyed. I was really annoyed. And like I appreciate Richard. I don't love Richard. I don't have a warm spot in my heart for him. Neither. Him winning Champions of Champions was for me a letdown.
He's the person I least
want. Yeah.
I mean, Lou, I also didn't really want Lou to win, but like,
I would rather her win. Like, Richard, I would have a drink with him. He's like, seems like a cool guy, but he feels so regular to me.
My hierarchy, I think my rank was like, I wanted Carrie to win. Second is Ed, then Lisa, then Lou, then Richard. So that was,
I'd like, I would have been like, I'm like, Carrie, Liza, Ed, all in one, like in one tier. I'm like thrilled. Lou, I'm like not thrilled. And then actually, you know what? Lou is like just slightly above Richard, but I was just like, it just felt so anticlimactic. Like this guy who, like, it was a miracle he even won his season.
I know. But he wins. He wins Champion of Champions. And presumably, after 25 seasons, will be on Champion of Champions of Champions.
Like, I hope a woman wins.
I would like that. That'd be nice.
I'm hoping this next stretch, like, we just don't have a man win.
So, are we close there? We've had three winners. Who
we
won?
Have
11?
Sarah, Morgana, and Sophie.
Well, that's great.
What a trio.
Yes, that would be great. Yeah, that would be awesome. That's Champion of Champions too, I think. Yeah.
But we're not done yet. No, my friends. Season 14 cast.
Yeah.
I screamed multiple times.
I was very excited for two people, and I don't know the other three, but I'm very, very excited about the two people that I know.
Yeah, I feel like the last couple seasons, I've like sort of known one person. I know two people very well, and I know a third pretty well. Okay. So Darrow Breen, host of Mock the Week. I'm shocked we have Darrow Breen.
The general sentiment is like, oh my God, they got Dara. Like, that's the general. That's what I feel like is happening. And I'm very excited. I think that this is slightly a risk for Dara in the same way that, I mean, we love Victoria Corn Mitchell, but I feel like Dara might end up, I'm really nervous that Dara, who like is kind of known for being smart, I don't think in the same way that Victoria is known for being smart.
Yeah.
But I'm very worried that Dara's going to come on and like, not be very good, but that'll be fun. He'll be fun not being good, and maybe he's just also really good. We'll see.
Yeah, and then we have Fern Brady, who I really enjoy. I like Fern Brady a lot. I think she's quite funny. She's very sharp. I find her like very like straight to the point. And I think my favorite thing about her is her beautiful Scottish accent.
I'm very excited to have a Scot on the...
Is she our first Scot?
Well, I don't think that can be true, but I just love Scot.
Oh, no, Ian.
Ian, yes.
Sterling. But still, two out of however many, that seems pretty wild.
I love a Scot accent. I love a Welsh accent. I love an Irish accent. I mean, I love
all of it.
I like pretty much the entire...
Sign me up. Yeah.
I don't really know. I don't know Fern Brady that much. Is there stuff that I should be checking out before? What is it? Is it just... Does she just make the panel show rounds? Is that what I
don't even know if she does a lot of panel shows. She was on House of Games one week.
Okay.
And then I see her stand up come up in TikToks a lot. Okay. And they're very much up my alley.
Okay. All right.
We have John Kearns, who I don't know well or at
I don't
all.
Know him either. I don't know him at all.
We also have Munya Chihuahua.
Don't know him at all.
Nope, don't know him at all. And then, of course, your favorite and mine, Sarah Milliken.
I'm so excited for Sarah.
And honestly, I'm not shocked she's on this season because there was some like tittering coming out that she had to cancel some of her performance dates right around when they were filming the in-studio stuff. So I'm not shocked to see her here. I'm thrilled.
She is just, when I see that she's going to be on like a panel show, I'm just tremendously excited because she's so funny. She's so funny. I'm really excited to see her. And I think she will have tasks that she's very good at and tasks that she'll be like, I don't know what I'm doing. And we'll just like do whatever. So I'm excited. She's hilarious.
I think she's like one of my first, introductions to like women on the UK comedy side of things. My introduction to British panel shows was Big Fat Quiz. Mm-hmm. And she was on a lot of them when I started watching. And that was a time where they just hated inviting women to those things.
Yep.
And so I'm really, it feels like full circle for me to see her here. Like it's, I'm really excited.
I'm very excited for her. Her and Dara are like, you know, panel show staples. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's really where they drew from in the early seasons. And like, I'm very excited because I think those three people I don't know, I will fall in love with all of them probably by the end of this show. Just like, you know, I very much trust in like Alex Horn being like, yeah, this is who we should get. I don't know if he's the only, surely he's not the only one casting, but like the show just finds the best people. And so I probably would be like, funny enough, like,
Dara's my least favorite.
Yeah, we're like, Dara kind of sucked. And Sarah was like, okay. And the other three were amazing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to that. I can only assume we're looking at fall for that. Maybe like October. I think that's kind of when, not this past season, but the season before that started.
Yep.
And I mean, we have Taskmaster New Zealand starting up next week to really fill that Taskmaster void. So I'm looking forward to that. I don't know anyone on that cast, so I can't give you any context, but.
Doesn't matter. We got Paul Williams back on my screen. It's totally fine. Williams. It doesn't matter. Yeah, I'm excited.
If you want a real earworm, please listen to Paul Williams' song Number One. In which he does a shout out to Canada's own Anthony Bennett.
Oh, wow.
Former first pick in the NBA.
Okay. Wow.
What a throwback. Am I right?
What a throwback. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. So I would definitely recommend listening to that song because it's like a legit bop.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's fun. Taskmaster New Zealand coming soon. It's a delight. They, I feel like, I would say that I think the task got better, and I think probably your point about like coming out of COVID, I think that probably it's given them a little bit more flexibility. I thought that like Taskmaster New Zealand was like nailing. They love this like do this thing that will impact the thing that you're going to do. Perfect. They're very good, and I feel like, you know, there's a lot of these shows happening, like a lot of different versions of Taskmaster, and like, you know, we're heading up onto series 14. Plus New Year's specials, plus Champion of Champions. And like, it's hard to come up with tasks. I feel like every time I was watching Task vs. Zoom, I was like, wow, this is really innovative. So I'm excited to see what they can come back with. This year.
And it all feels very fresh. It doesn't feel like a direct copy or anything. I would say my one qualm with it is I don't think the Taskmaster is quite as engaging as Greg is.
I agree.
But I very much love Paul Williams.
So Paul is, Paul to me is like, such a perfect, like he's not Alex, but he's his own thing, and it's brilliant. So,
you know what? I think I'm gonna rewatch season two of New Zealand Taskmaster.
I might have to do that as well.
Yeah,
it's very good.
Yeah. So Grace, what are you up to?
Oh, just a few things over on post show recaps. Recently finished up some Peaky Blinders coverage, and I have weekly movie coverage with Ariel. Next week we'll be talking about Elvis, the 2.5 hour movie where Tom Hanks has a silly accent. So
and where he got COVID.
He did get COVID. Yeah.
Ethan keeps trying to be like, do you want to go see Elvis with me? And I was like, no, I don't want to go see that.
Austin Butler's really good.
Last time you said a movie was really great to me.
Uh-oh.
It was.
What did I say?
It was James Bond. And you were like, no, it's really funny. And I was scared the entire time. But that's on me because I'm scared easily.
They say it was really funny. Uh-oh.
You said it was pretty funny. You said it was funny. You said there was funny moments.
There's a really great, there's a really great scene. There's a really funny, great scene that I remember. Ooh, I feel like that was bad.
It was scary. It was
okay,
scary.
Okay, apologies.
No, it's not your fault. I am just an absolute baby.
No, that's fine.
You know what? Okay, here's a good one. Ethan and I have been together for a very long time.
Uh-huh.
For a majority of that time, he's been trying to get me to watch the Grand Budapest Hotel.
Yes. I like that film a lot. Yeah.
And one time he finally, like recently, he finally broke me down, got me to watch it.
Yes.
He's like, it's really funny. You'll like it.
Yes.
Like, okay.
Yes.
I hated it. Was so scary. It was not
scary.
Funny. It was so, what do you mean scary? William Dafoe is like a literal murderer. Jeff Goldblum gets his fingers cut off. And I love Jeff Goldblum. Scary. It's scary. Yeah. It's scary. It's scary. They get beat up a lot.
Yeah.
I think Ethan kept looking over and he's like, I forgot that this was in it. I think he sees the poster and is like, Haley likes the color pink.
Yes.
He'll like this movie.
Yeah, I feel like Wes Anderson is so whimsical that it's, but I guess like even his last one, French Dispatch, is very, there's some stuff in there that I would say. I don't think it's scary, but I think if you're saying that the two things that you've described are scary, then it's probably scary. Do you want to come see the Black? I watched The Black Phone recently. That's
Ethan Hawke. I saw a commercial for that and I was scared. Yeah. I was like, I can't watch it.
Yeah, no, I think we'll be covering that in a few weeks. You can get to the movies and you could come be the guest for the pod.
I would cry. I went to go see when I was young and like tried to pretend. I went to go see No Country for Old Men in theaters.
Ooh, that's scary. Yeah.
I probably went to the bathroom 8 times during that movie.
Yeah.
And I could not shower if I was home alone for at least 8 months.
Oh no, I'm so sorry. Wow, that's brutal.
I went to go see Zodiac in theaters because Jake Gyllenhaal was in it.
That's scary though. That's scary. Yeah. Yeah. The Black Phone is terrifying.
No, I'm not. I
really like that, but it was made for me in some ways. So
I don't like to be scared. I have no interest in being thrilled. I don't want to be in suspense. Like I only want to watch movies with the vibe of Mamma Mia. Like that's all I want.
I have no interest in being thrilled.
I don't.
It's the best. That's the best. I love that. Anyway, Rob is a podcast. I do the Off Speed podcast. We talk about sports. And then we have The Prior to Spoken this month with Abby and Matt, which has been so tremendous. And the final episode will come out this Wednesday. Abby's going to interview Ricard. We're going to hear from a bunch of survivors who you haven't heard from yet. Matt, Abby, and I will close out the show. So that's the last episode. Get a t-shirt because they go to support Gender Benders, a charity that supports trans and gender nonconforming folks in the United States. And they're really cool t-shirts with a really cool logo that Tricky made on the Rob is a Podcast team. So that's what I have going on. I'm on Twitter @HiFromGrace. What about you, Haley?
Bachelor season is starting up pretty soon. I've had my first break from podcasting in I'd say about 4 years, the last like month, and it's been like nice, but I have missed it. So our draft should be coming out hopefully this week, with the season starting up in a couple of weeks, and that's about it. Yeah, and if you have watched Top Chef, we did the whole season of Top Chef podcasting, which was a lot of fun. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram @hstrong_. And if you want to check out what I'm reading, you can check out my bookstagram @thestronglibrary. Actually, now I'm thinking about it, I'm at my computer. I'll probably post a review right now because I have one ready to rumble. So, yeah.
Nice. You need to get back to podcasting so you can say, no, I can't watch the Grand Budapest Hotel.
No way.
No way.
Anyway, we'll see you eventually. Bye. Bye.